Today we are continuing in Daf Chavav some of these interesting stories in Daf Chavav. So we started with Shevna yesterday. As I mentioned to most of you during Seder, we're not going to get to being Mekabel Tzedakah from Goyim today because we're going to give that as a shiur to the whole yeshiva on Thursday. We're starting Chazara week on Thursday, so we're going to have Rabbi Levin and I giving shiurim on general Sanhedrin topics so that during Seder you could focus on Chazara. I think it's a good idea to do Chazara, to stop and pause in the middle of the Zman, do a little bit of Chazara. So, but tomorrow Rabbi Levin's giving share to everybody, Thursday I'm giving share to everybody, and today we'll just try to get to that point of being Mekabel Tzedakah from Goyim. So one thing I wanted to get to that we had on the Gemara that we've already done, that we hadn't discussed, I don't think we've really discussed, is the Gemara had this comment at one point that Misharabu Anasim Umayniu Arnuna Kedemachris Rabbi Yanai Poku Vizaru Bishvius Mishum Arnuna. The Rabbi Yanai used to tell people, go plant during Shemitah because of the Arnuna, because of these people that the government that expects money from us and expects produce from us, so you need to plant during Shemitah. So Frek tells us, what do you mean need to plant during Shemitah? Plant during Shemitah is Nisudar Raisa. Who says that it's mutter to plant during Shemitah? Just because they're expecting money from us. So Tosfos gives two terutzim on the top. He says, first of all, it could be Yesh Lomer Demari Bishvius Bezman Hazeh Drabanan. Maybe we're talking about Shemitah Drabanan, not Shemitah Daraisa. That since Shemitah Bezman Hazeh is only Drabanan, that's why you're allowed to violate the Yisr Drabanan, since it would be a major hefsid mammon. They're going to come collect the money one way or the other. So we need to have the money, we need to have the produce to give them, so we're allowed to violate the Yisr Drabanan. That's one answer, Tosfos. And the other answer is, he says, It's not a money issue that we're afraid of losing money. It's that if we don't have what they expect us to have, they're going to kill us. It's pikuach nefesh, and pikuach nefesh is docha every yisur in the Torah except for the big three. So that's the issue. It's a pikuach nefesh issue. It's not a money issue. So that's how Tosfos suggests. Those are the two terutzim of Tosfos. So the problem is as follows. There is a tshuva in the Radvaz, which really you don't need a Radvaz to say it. It seems like Pasha Pshat. There's a tshuva in the Radvaz in Chelik Dalet Simen Kuf Mem Hei, where he writes that if someone is Nimtza Bein Hanachrin, and he can't find anything kosher to eat, he's in a non-Jewish community, and all the food there is non-kosher. So the Radvaz says he has to spend all of his money in order to find kosher food. What if he could find food that's kosher midaraisa, just not kosher midrabanan? It's chicken and milk, let's say. So it's only an issue midrabanan, it's not an issue midaraisa. Radvaz says, I don't care. You still have to spend all of your money, even to avoid violating an issur drabanan. Even if it's chalav akum, let's say. Nowadays we have Rav Moshe's kula of chalav companies. But let's say you didn't have Rav Moshe's kula of chalav companies. There are no companies. It's just Jewish farms and non-Jewish farms. And the only way you're going to get milk from a Jewish farm is by spending all of your money. So Vaz says you have to spend all of your money in order to avoid violation of Lo Sasrim and Adavar Sheir Gidulcha, of violating the Gzeiros Chachamim. So the Vaz is very clear that you have to spend all of your money even to avoid violating the Sidra Banan. Chavas Yair Nechuva Sim Kuf Pei Gimel talks about a case of a Jew, She'iyem Alav Ish Milchama She'yishte Imo Yayin Nesach, a militant kind of fellow, non-Jew, scared him and says, if you have to drink Yayin Nesach from me, and because I guess this militant fellow has a hard time making friends, his way of making friends is, come, let's go out for drinks. And if you don't, I'm going to cut off your ear. So the Shaila was, does he have to lose his ear rather than drink the Yayin Nesach? So Chavzera says, well, before you lose the ear, did you ever think of maybe trying to pay him off? Maybe if you give him a lot of money, he'll go away, and he won't make you drink the Yayin Nesach, even Yayin Nesach mitrabanan, right? He won't make you drink the Stam Yenam, and maybe he won't cut off your ear if you pay him off. How much should you pay him off? Even if it takes all your money to pay him off. If that's what it's going to take to avoid violating even an Issur Drabanan, Chavos Yair says, you have to give up all your money to avoid violating an Issur Drabanan. So the big kasha that everyone asks is, that all the poskim raise, is our Gemara. Our Gemara says that Rabbi Yanai announced, everyone go violate the Issur Drabanan, plant during Shemitah. Shemitah Bezman Hazeh Drabanan. You can plant during Shemitah. Why? Because they're going to take all of our money. So if you say like the second Teretz of Tosfos, that it wasn't a money issue, that it was a Pikuach Nefesh issue, so then it's fine. No problem. I understand. Violating the Issur Daraisa, Drabanan, whatever kind of issue you want to violate in order to save a life, that makes sense, as long as it's not one of the big three. That's perfectly fine. But the first Teretz of Tosfos, first Teretz HaTosfos was that, yeah, it was only a money issue, but it was only Drabanan, so you're allowed to violate a Drabanan to save money. All the poskim say against that. All the poskim say not allowed to violate a Drabanan to save money. The Rambam in Hilchos Shemitah Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Aleph writes, Misha Rabu Anasim V'yitilu Malchei Hagoyim Al Yisrael Lasos Matanos, I think L'chayil Oseihen, Hitiru L'zroa B'shvius Dvarim Shetzrichlem Avdei HaMelech. Doesn't sound like it's a... it's Pekuach Nefesh issue. The Rambam sounds like it passes like the first day in Tosfos. It was a money issue, and the Chachamim allowed it. So that's the question. Why is it that the Chachamim allowed it to violate an Issur Drabanan just to save money? Is there any difference between this and any other Issur Drabanan that you're not allowed to violate to save money? So what are you telling me? Any chilik over here? What makes this Issur Drabanan different? So there's a tshuva. Rav Vazner in Shevet Alevi has a tshuva in Chelek Gimel, some Kufr and Ches, and these are makomos I'm getting from the Pnine Halacha in the back of the Masifta Gemara. He has the Rav Vazner says that it's not a kasha, it's not a raya. He says when it comes to the Arnuna, where it's a hefsid mamon for the rabbin, for the entire community, so it's not that the Rabbanan are saying you can violate an Issur Drabanan in order to save money. The Rabbanan are saying b'chi gavna lo gazer Rabbanan. Heimamru veheimamru. They're the ones that made the din, and they say that this din only applies in situations where the entire community is not threatened. If you have a personal threat against you, that you're going to have to lose a lot of money, so the din d'rabbanan doesn't go away. There's no heimamru veheimamru. The din d'rabbanan is still there. It's just that you have an issue to deal with, so then you have to give up all your money rather than violate a din d'rabbanan. But when it's a threat against the entire Jewish community, so mistama, when the rabbanan made the din, they only made the din for situations that would not threaten the entire Jewish community. So to Heimam Reimam, there isn't a Dindra. The whole Dindra Rabbanan is suspended. The Dindra Rabbanan goes away. That's how Rav Vazner wants to say. Okay, so now back to where we were in the Gemara. So the Gemara told us this. Why does the Gemara bring up Shevna over here? So it brings up Shevna because of this concept of Kesha Rishayim. The Gemara mentioned this concept of Kesha Rishayim of Zeinu Min HaMinyan. That how did that come up? Because we were talking about the case of the two fellows who were going to be Rabbi Dishana, and Reish Lakish tagged along with them. Reish Lakish called them a Kesha Rishayim. So this concept that Kesha Rishayim is Einam in a Minyan, that when you have Rishayim in a group, they don't count as the majority. Even if they make up the majority, it doesn't count. If they're just Rishayim, they don't count. So I once heard from Rav Shechter the following. He said in the name of Rav Yeruchim Gerelik. Rav Shechter learned in Rabbi Gerelik's shir when he was in high school. So when he was in high school, they already saw he was too smart for all the regular high school shiurim, so they bumped him up to the Rav's shiur, which was the high-level smicha shiur. So he was 16 years old, he was in the Rav's shiur, but the Rav only said shiur twice a week. So Rav Shechter, they didn't know what to do. What do you do with a high school kid? How do you not send him to class in the morning? They had to send him to some class, so they figured that it wasn't right for him to only go to shiur twice a week. So the other 3 days a week, they sent him to Rabbi Gerelik's shiur. So, which was another one of the college shiur. So he went to Rabbi Gerelik's shiur. So he has a lot of Torah from Rabbi Gerelik. Also from the Bronx, he had a lot of shaykhus to Rabbi Gerelik. Rabbi Gerelik was a non-YU type of YU Rosh HaYeshiva. His kids are much more a reflection of his own personality. He's a real Haredi, Talmud of the Brisker Rav, but, phenomenal, not but, and also a phenomenal Talmud Chacham and a very excitable fellow. So Rabbi Gerelik explained that there is a machlokas haposkin, whether you follow Rov if the Rov says the same thing for two different reasons. Let's say you have three people on a Beis Din, two of them vote to convict or to say that the guy is chayiv money, one of them says potter for money, but the two that say he's chayiv say it for two completely different reasons. They don't see eye to eye at all in terms of why he's chayiv. So there's a machlokas haposkin whether you would follow Rov in that situation. Do you say that we only look at the bottom line, what they're saying, what they paskin? Or do you say we have to look at why they're passing also, what the lumdus behind the psak is also? And therefore, just because two people say chayiv doesn't mean they're saying the same thing, they're not necessarily a majority. Now, in general, when Rishayim get together and they agree to a certain, to a certain goal or to a certain doctrine or to a certain, whatever it is, whatever they're signing on to do together, generally speaking, the nature of Rishayim is that there's very little achdus. That they're not doing it out of a sense of combined purpose or a sense of feeling the same needs of each other. Each one is doing it for their own best interests. they come to some sort of conclusion based on their own best interests. So even if the conclusions are the same, the what gets them there is never the same. Because this one's doing it for himself, that one's doing it for himself. So they each have their own cheshbonos of how they're going to get there. It's only the maskaras of machlokes that they're same. So he says maybe that's pshat in kesher rishayim eino min haminyan, that a group of rishayim, even if they're the majority, they don't count as the majority. Because maybe if you assume like those poskim that when you have two different people say two different things for two different reasons, it doesn't count as a majority. Says Rabbi Gerelik, very harif, was very sharp. Said maybe that's why kesher rishayim is eino min haminyan. Where do we find that rishayim together are usually motivated by different things? So it's a famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Mishnah in Pirkei Avos talks about a machlokas that's l'shem shemayim and a machlokas that's lo l'shem shemayim. So what does the Mishnah say? That a machlokas that's lo l'shem shemayim is a machlokas korach va'adasa. Now you would expect the Mishnah to say that a machlokas that's lo l'shem shemayim is a machlokas korach u'moshe. It's a machlokas korach against Moshe. Korach wasn't arguing with Adaso. Korach was arguing with Moshe. Right, by l'shem shemayim, what does it say? Shammai and Hillel. So it's the two adversaries in the L'shem Shemayim side of the Mishnah. So when it talks about L'shem Shemayim, why wouldn't you say both sides? Why would you only say Korach ve'adaso? So that's the vart that everyone says, Shechter points out, that all the Bali Musar say, that no, when you have Rasha'im that are fighting for something, even if they're fighting, they're ostensibly looks like they're fighting for the same thing, on the surface looks like they're fighting for the same thing, but the motivation of each one is different. Each one is motivated by their own self-interest. And therefore, it's a machlokas even within the ranks. That's the machlokas shelo l'shem shemayim. So Rabbi Gerelik said, maybe that's why that a kesher rishayim is eino min haminyan, because the kesher rishayim includes people who hold that shita for a variety of different reasons, and maybe that doesn't count as a rov. So Rabbi Gerelik just pointed out that is definitely a nice pshat, how Rabbi Gerelik said, but it's also definitely not the pashut pshat. Pashup Shad and why Kesher Rishayim is Eino Min Haminyan is that you only go Basa Rov when everyone is saying Deil L'Shem Shemayim. This is what Eitan was saying to me after Shir yesterday. That if you're saying in terms of Suffolk, right? But whenever someone's saying a Deil L'Shem Shemayim, so then you could say that you go with the Rov. But if people aren't saying Deil L'Shem Shemayim, the Deil doesn't count. The Deil doesn't even get, as Rosh Hashanah always likes to say, they're not entitled to an opinion. You're only entitled to an opinion. You only get a vote if you're saying a daya, that's l'shem shemayim, and that's why kesher rishayim is eino min haminyan. Okay, so let's see the Gemara Vayter. So we discussed yesterday that we saw yesterday the beginning of the story with Shevna, that there were Shevna taught 130,000 people, and the other and Chizkiyo taught 110,000 people, and Shevna was ready to make peace with Sancheiriv, and Chizkiyo was not ready to do that. So just in general, in terms of the identity of this person, Shevna, who exactly he was, so the Pasuk in Yeshayahu refers to a man named Shevna Asher al-Habayis, who is in charge of the Bayis. Now what does that mean? So Rashi on Yeshayahu in Perichav Beis writes that he was Memun al-Beis HaMikdash. He was in charge of taking care of the Beis HaMikdash. And Yesho Moshayi Kohen Gadol, he's a Kohen Gadol who plays a critical role in the Beis HaMikdash, or in charge of the Batei Kuhuna, I guess you would say. And some say right, Rashi over here in our sugya says that no, Al HaBayis means he was in charge of Chizkiyo's house. He was his chief of household. You know, he was in charge of Chizkiyo. Chizkiyo was the Melech, so he was the caretaker of the palace. He was the one in charge of the house. Now, It's a little bit strange, because our Gemara paints Shevna in a very, very negative light. It sounds like it's Kesher Rishayim, it's bad, right? Shevna is also referred to, though, as Shevna HaSofer, which makes it sound like a really good guy. So the Tosfos, Masech HaShabbos, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, says, what you'd expect him to say, how could this guy be a bad guy and a good guy? Two Shevnas. There were two guys by the name of Shevna. Shevna Asher Al HaBayis was a Rasha. Shevna Sofer was a big tzaddik. However, Tosfos Maseches Yuma Daf Lamed Chesam Beis says no, there had to be one Shevna because both of them are mentioned together in the context of the Maisa of Sancheiriv, the Shevna Al HaBayis and the Shevna Sofer. It must be that originally he was a tzaddik and a sofer, and then when he got involved with the whole Sancheiriv incident, he turned sour, he turned bad, and that explains why this Shevna over here, who's the Rasha, said shir to 130,000 Talmidim. What do you mean? He said shir to 130,000 Talmidim. He's a Rasha. He turned bad. He was good, and he turned to the forces of evil, or however you want to say it, right? So that's the pshat with that's the pshat with Shevna. Now I saw again that they quoted over here in the Biuri Adaf from the Marsha. You can take a look at the Marsha itself that it says Chizki Avadarsh Bechatzrei Rabusa, and it tells this whole mice with Chizki and Shevna. So he writes that Shevna wanted to make shalom, must have had bad machshavos. Must have had, it wasn't just stam machlokas l'shem shemayim. He must have had machshavos l'ra'a, because Sancheiriv was schirif ma'arachos elukim chayim. Sancheiriv was spewing up epikorsos. He was waging a battle with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when Shevna has machshavos l'ra'a, not just l'ra'a, it's machshavos l'avod zara. When you want to join Sancheiriv, Mela, that counts as having machshavos l'avod zara. And the rule is, the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin and Daf Mem, as well as today's Daf Yomi, the very last Daf in Chulin, tomorrow's Becharos. So the very last Daf in Maseches Chulin says that when a person has machshavos l'ra, a person has bad machshavos, when it's machshavos l'avod zara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarif l'maisa, counts as doing an avera. When you just have bad machshavos, let's say you plan on eating chazer today, you're thinking during shir, you know, I'm hungry, you know, Bagel Island's so expensive, Subway's right next to it, wouldn't be so bad, I'll get a ham sandwich. And then you go there and you're like, what am I thinking? Well, I'm not going to go get a ham sandwich. And you go into Bagel Island and you pay $15 for a salad. Right? So you change your mind last minute. So instead of the $5 footlong. So when you just have machshavos to do an avera, so you don't get punished for that. Machshavos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mitzrayim for the ma'isa. Machshavos, bad machshavos, good machshavos, he is mitzrayim for the ma'isa. But there are exceptions to that rule. Two major exceptions. One exception is when the avera itself is the hirhur, such as znus, arayos, those kinds of things. So susurach or the vavchem is the avera itself is to have the hirhurim. And the other exception is hirhuri avodazara. Hirhuri avodazara, Kodesh Baruch Hu is mitzayif l'mayis. So a person does avodazara, and there was planning involved, he gets punished for the planning also, and he's punished for even planning alone. That's hirhuri avodazara. So that's why Shevna, even though they were the rove in Am Yisrael, they don't get to be koveya the vote, even though they're the majority. Why don't they get to be koveya the vote? Because their machshavos were machshavos avodah zara. So the whole thing was done by avera. Now that idea that hirhurei avodah zara, you get punished for, but in general, hirhurim you don't get punished for. What context does that come up? Very fascinating context in the Gemara Chulin. The Gemara Chulin asks Akasha, which seems like a theological kasha. The Gemara says, Torah tells us that if a person is shalech shalach ha'seim, sends away the mother bird, does the mitzvah shulach ha'kan, the whole last parak of chulin is about shulach ha'kan, so that's why it comes up there. Or a person does kabeda savicha v'asimecha, the fifth commandment, right? Torah says, what's the bracha? Laman yarichun yamecha, laman yitavlach, God will give you arichas yamin. So the Gemara asks, oh yeah, what if you have a person who his father says, go do Shiluach HaKan, and he's on his way to do the Shiluach HaKan. He's listening to his father doing Shiluach HaKan, both mitzvahs for which the Torah promises Arichas Yamim, and then he falls and dies while he's doing it. How do you explain that? Torah says, L'man Yarichun Yamecha. What? Yeah, so that was it. So the Gemara says, that was one of two possibilities of what Acher's Kasha was that led him astray, that caused Acher to become Acher, to stop being a holy Tana and instead be Acher. The Gemara says, Acher's grandson came up with the answer to the question, ironically. He said if he only knew what his grandson's answer was, he never would have been led astray. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Barte, his grandson came up with the answer. Before the Gemara comes up with the real answer, the Gemara says, maybe he had a hero of Avodah Zarah while he was doing that, while he was doing the Shiluach HaKan. Well, first the Gemara says, what do you mean, it never happened? Who says it ever happened? I mean, you can't ask Kasha on a theoretical. If someone were doing this and they would die, then where's the Arichas Yamim? Whoever said that it ever happened, that someone was doing Shiluach HaKan, listening to their father and died? So the Gemara says, it did happen. He saw it happen. Acher saw it happen. It happened. I was just asked this recently. Someone I know said to me, a person, Nebuch, their mother is very sick, and it's an incurable form of cancer. And the person said to me, I never saw anyone be mechabed ave'im the way my mother was mechabed her parents. Shteitin pasuk l'man yarichun yamecha. Where's her arichas yamim? Mamish, the same kasha. So, obviously, in a little more sensitive way, I said, Ayein Chulin Daf Kuf Mem Beis, Ayein Kiddushin Daf Mem. Gemara asked the Kasha. That's because Acher to go astray. So the Gemara says that the Gemara's first attempt at an answer was maybe Hirhurei Avod Zara. That the person had Hirhurei Avod Zara, and that, you know, that outweighs the mitzvah. So they lose the zchus of the mitzvah. While they're doing the mitzvah, they have Hirhurei Avod Zara. The Gemara says, can't be. Because if there was schar mitzvah b'hai alma, if there was such a thing as schar mitzvah in this world, then the schar of the mitzvah should protect you from hirhurei avodah zara. Fascinating comment of the Gemara. It didn't protect me. I choose to have hirhurei avodah zara. Chir chavshus, no? The Gemara says, no. If you have schar mitzvah, it should protect you from having hirhurei avodah zara. Never should have had hirhurei avodah zara in the first place. So the Gemara, at the end of the day, what's the Gemara's answer? Where's the l'man yarichun yamecha? What's the answer to Acher's kasha? The Gemara says, Liyom shekulo aruch, liyom shekulo tov. Doesn't mean l'man yarichun yamecha in this world, it means in the next world. That's the Arichus Yadim. So this fellow that asked me this question said, I know that answer. He said, but it says in the pasuk, al ha'adama shenasati lach. And not just Arichun yamecha, but l'man yarichun yamecha al ha'adama. It's a strong kasha, no? It says al ha'adama. So you look carefully at the Gemara Chulin, just hit me this morning as I was learning it. The Gemara says that we see from that pasuk that there's Tchiyas HaMeisim. Because Arichus Yom means Yom Shekulo Aruch, that's got to be referring to Tchiyas HaMeisim. Who says Tchiyas HaMeisim? Why don't you just say it's referring to Olam Haba? The Olam HaNeshamos. Where all of our Neshamos go after we die. That's what it means, Arichus Yom there, in the Olam HaNeshamos. So the Gemara says, no, the Gemara must have realized it can't be referring to the Olam HaNeshamos. Because it says Al Hadama, so it's got to be on the physical land. Where is there going to be a Arichus Yom on the physical land? B'tchias HaMeisim. That's why the Gemara was Dafka Makbid to say Tchias HaMeisim. Anyway, that's the context that it comes up in. So it says the Gemara Vaitri, now we're holding on again the bottom of Daf Chavav Amud Aleph. Where are we up to? Anyone remember? Have a Kamastafi Chizkiyah. Might as well start from there. Fifth wide line. Yeah, at the end of the line. So Shevna tries to make peace. Chizkiyah is very much afraid. Amar Dilma Chas V'Shalom Natya Daiti Dekutra Baruch Hu Basa Ruba. So Chizkiyah says, maybe God is paskening like the rove over here, and therefore I'm going to lose. Kivan Deruba Mimsri Inunami Mimsri, and therefore maybe I'm bound by what the majority vote of Klal Yisrael is. So if 130,000 people say we should make peace with Sancheiriv, I should also bring my 110,000 people and make peace with Sancheiriv. But Navi Vamrlo, the Navi says, Lo Somrun Kesher L'Kol Asher Yomar Ha'amazek Kasher, Kolomar Kesher Rishayim Huvi Kesher Rishayim Einam Einam Inyan. No, it doesn't count as a majority, because there are Kesher Rishayim, and Kesher Rishayim doesn't count, Einam Inyan doesn't count amongst the number, amongst the vote, doesn't get a vote in the 130,000. Now there is a Kasha. Now one of the Achronim asks, again, quoted in the Yalkut Biurim, in the back of the Masifta, based on the Gemara Kiddushin Daf Mem and Beis. The Gemara Kiddushin tells us that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says, Lefisha olam nido nacharubo, since we know that in general God judges the world based on majorities, meaning whether God decides to bring, when God decides to bring a hurricane or tornado, any natural earthquake, he doesn't only do it to Rishayim, meaning an earthquake hits, everyone's affected by it. So how does God decide when to do good for the world, when to make the economy good and Rishayim will benefit, and when to bring an earthquake where even Tzaddikim will suffer? So Gemara says he goes with Rov, he goes with the majority of the world. And therefore, Avar Avera Achas, Oilo Shechrias Atzma Veskolol Mekaf Chova. Sometimes when things are even, you violate one Avera, you might be costing the whole world a whole lot of lives and money and everything else, because you're being Machria the world, the Kaf Chova. So, Frek, the Sanhedrin Ketana, wait a second. If God is counting up Rov, I thought Kesher Rishayim is Einam Einam Inyan. Those who are doing Averus don't count to the rope. Let them get punished for what they do, but how could they have an effect on us? How could they have an effect on us? How could they have an effect on people who are tzaddikim? Right? The Kesher Shah made them in a minion. How does their rove matter for us? So, his mitarets based on the following. There's a Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Nun Hey. May Olam Lo Yatsa Mida Tovim Pekarosh Baruch Hu V'Chazer Balara'a Chutz Midavar Zeh. That God never promised anything good and then changed his mind to give bad instead, except for in a particular circumstance, which is the case that's described in Yecheskel Perek Tes, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Gavriel, Leich Rishom al Mitzchen shel Tzadikim Tav shel Dio. Go write a letter tough in ink on the foreheads of tzaddikim, so that the malachi chavala won't be able to get a hold of them. And on the foreheads of rishayim, write a letter tough in blood, so that the malachi chavala will be able to identify them and go after them. So the Midas HaDin says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Manishtanu Elu Me'elu. Why are the tzaddikim treated differently than the rishayim? Why don't I get a chance to really to attack the tzaddikim? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what do you mean? What's the difference? Halo tzaddikim gemurim, v'halo rishayim gemurim. These guys are tzaddikim, these guys are rishayim. So Amar Lufanu, the Malachi Chavala says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Hayu Biyadam Limchas V'lamichu. But these guys had an opportunity, the tzaddikim had an opportunity to make a macha'a and try to prevent the rishayim from doing a verse. They didn't. So shouldn't they get it? They get it over the head also. Shouldn't they get punished also? So what do you see from the Gemara? That based on that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed his mind and allowed them to punish tzaddikim as well. So what do you see? What emerges is that Kesh Rishayim Zeinu Min HaMinyan, when the tzaddikim had an opportunity to stop the Rishayim from being Rishayim, when the tzaddikim did not have an opportunity to stop the Rishayim from being Rishayim. But if the tzaddikim had an opportunity to stop the Rishayim from being Rishayim and they didn't take advantage of that opportunity, then the tzaddikim are not treated any different than the Rishayim. Then, if the Rishayim are the majority, that counts as a vote, counts as a toward the minyan, and the whole world gets punished as a result of the Rishayim. It's only when the tzaddikim had no ability to stop the Rishayim, only then do we say, Kesher Rishayim Einam in a minyan. In the case of Chizkiyahu, here you had an Eved of his, Shevna was an Eved, who's clearly rebelling against Chizkiyahu. So he wasn't listening anymore. So what was Chizkiyahu going to tell him? Stop? He didn't have the ability to tell him to stop anymore. He was no longer kafuf to Chizkiyahu. Mimela, Shevna's people, Shevna's followers, who were not kafuf to Chizkiyahu had no sway over them. He couldn't stop them. So Mimela, they don't count in a minyan. But had he had the ability to stop them and not stop them, then they would count Min HaMinyan, and Chizkiyahu would have been in trouble. Chizkiyahu would have had to face the wrath as well. Okay, so says Gemara Vayitu now. Gemara tells us what happened to Shevna. So Gemara says, Halach lachtsov lo kever b'kivrei beis David. So he went to make himself a kever, to dig for himself a kever in the kivrei beis David. Why dafka in the kivrei beis David? This was a siman of his merida against Chizkiyahu. He wanted to be viewed as a member of the royal family. So he wanted to be buried royally as well. But Navi Varmelo, so the Navi says to him, Malchapo, Milchapo, ki chasafta lchapo kever. What do you think you're doing over here digging a kever? Hinei Hashem metal talecha til tala kever. God is going to give you, is going to move you around like a man is moved around. Amarav tiltul the gavra kashi mide itza. And that's bad, because men, it hurts more for men to be moved around than for women to be moved around. What? What's this about? What's going on over here? Being moved around? What's he being told is going to happen? So the Marsha writes in the back of the Gemara, we're in the Chidush HaGadol, the Marsha writes that misvara, we could have said that the reason why it's worse for a man to be moved around, it's talking about having to move, being nav nad ba'aretz, having to move around from one place to another. Worse for a man, because every place a man goes, he's going to have to start up a new business, he's going to have to make new contacts, he's going to have to start from scratch, work hard. A woman, people will always have rachmanas on a woman. Nebuch and Almana, you know, a single woman coming and, you know, collecting tzedakah, she'll always collect more money than a man will. The man, people say, work. Get a job. A woman, people always have more rachmanas on. So the tiltul together, having to reestablish yourself in a new place, is always more difficult for a man than it is for a woman. However, there is a Gemara Maseches Ksubos Daf Chaf Ches, where the Gemara says that a man who's megarish his wife, the halacha is they're not allowed to live in the same apartment anymore, or even the same apartment complex. They have to move away from each other, the Gemara says. A lot of times, because of legal issues, people get divorced, or they get separated and they want to get divorced, and they don't leave the house. The husband doesn't leave the house. It causes all sorts of problems. They do, because if they leave, then it's abandonment, and it gives them, you know, they don't have the upper hand legally anymore. So, but it causes all sorts of terrible issues. But anyway, the halacha is they're not supposed to be in the same house anymore, or the same neighborhood. So who leaves? Who has to leave? One of them has to leave. So the Gemara says the man stays, the woman leaves. Why? Tiltul de gavra kashi mide itza. But they're going to stay in the same city, it's just they're not allowed to be in the same chatzer, they're not allowed to be in the same little area. And still the Gemara says tiltul de gavra is kashi mide itza. So it sounds like it's not only about having rachmanas and reestablishing yourself, because even in the same city we say Tzilzul the Gavra Kasha Mida Itzah. So it's hard to say that that's the only reason that women will get Rachmanis. Yeah.
I think it's also because she can just get remarried. I feel like it's easier in that sense.
Oh, you're saying a different Sfar, she can get remarried.
Meaning like she could just join another man's household.
Right. Whereas a man.
Yes, at least in those senses. Yes, have a household.
Right. Yes. Good. So that could be what the Gemara and Ksubas means, but that's a little different than what the Marsha was saying in terms of people just being merachim on her. Good. That's a very good pshat also. The Gra in Aderes Elio says that it's since a woman is always used to moving around, her whole women are busy. You ever see? Oh, she's driving four carpools and she's running to brachs and to the. She's always moving. She's always on the move. When she's in charge of taking care of a house, she's always on the move. What does a man do? He sits in his corner office all day. Right? Not to belittle people who work very hard, going over documents and dotting the I's and crossing the T's and everything else. But they're sitting, they're not moving. So that's what he says, that for a woman, that's her natural state of being, is to move around. She's always moving around. For a man is always staying in one place. Okay. Ben Yoyada has a totally different mystical explanation of this whole thing. Ben Yoyada says, we're not talking about people moving in this lifetime. We're talking about Gilgul Neshamos. Talking about Neshamos moving around from one place to another. And that's what the Navi's saying to Shevna. You think you're going to die one death? You're digging yourself a kever in the base David. That's why he went to him in the cemetery. You're digging yourself a kever in the base David, in the Kivrei base David. Why, you think you're going to die just one death? You know how many Averis you do that you're going to have to come back in Gilgul and Shamos to make up for? You're going to have to come back to make up for so many Averos. And that's Tzilzul the Gavra's Kashmi de Itza. Why? So he says, because what are the most commonly violated Averos? Most commonly violated Averos are typically Averos that are only violated by men, or that are mostly violated by men. Averos of Hihurim Ra'im, which everyone violates, the Gemara says, the person's not Nitzel B'chol Yom from them. Averus of stealing, which only people who are involved in business, women typically were not involved in business, do. All these sorts of things. Shvur Sheker, Asagas Gvul, all these things. Plus, women are part from Mitzvah Shazman Grama. So they have less chance to do Averus to begin with. So the Gilgulim of men are going to be harder than Gilgulim of women. Of course, this assumes that there is such a thing as a Gilgul. I've pointed out in the past. Someone says that Gilgul is one of those things in Judaism that Judaism doesn't have a definitive opinion on whether there exists such a thing or not. Gemara doesn't say anything about Gilgulim anywhere. So whether we believe that there is such a thing as Gilgul or not is something that Judaism doesn't really have an opinion on. I don't know if I ever mentioned to you, there's a Rashash. Did I ever mention this Rashash? The Pasuk says in Chumash, in the brachos before the tochacha, says something about there's a Rashi on Chumash that interprets the pasuk as saying that you're going to die the same way you're born. That just like you're born without averos, without sin, so too you'll die without averos. Such a Rashi on Chumash quotes a Gemara. It says like that. That's one of the brachos that we could have. One of the greatest brachos you could have is that we die in the same purity with which we're born without any averos. So says the Rashash, you see from here that there's no such thing as a Gilgul. Why? Because if there is such a thing as a Gilgul, then when you're born, you do have averos. Right? You're born with averos. You're born to make up for the averos that you did in a previous lifetime. But the Gemara makes an assumption that just like it's pashut that you're born without averos, so too you should be zochen to die without averos. So it's making an assumption that you're born without averos. So Rosh Hashanah says, it's a mikan kasha on those who hold of Gilgulim. I was just told yesterday, Rabbi Tzvi Salinger told me that he was speaking to someone who told him that Belzer Hasidim, they made a takana that they're not allowed to learn Rosh Hashanah because of that. Because that comment of the Rashash, that he questioned the concept of Gilgul. Chassidim are very into the concept of Gilgul. So they made it takana, you're not allowed to learn Rashash. If you're Belz of Chassid, you're not allowed to learn Rashash. Chassidim have to rip out half of the back of the Gemara. They don't learn Maritzchias either. Because Maritzchias was too much of a maskil. He was too, if Maritzchias was around today, I don't know, he might be Rashiv in YU or something. He wouldn't, probably wouldn't be whatever. Anyway, someone told me yesterday that they listened to my shiur of Hakdama of the Rama, the Darkei Moshe, and I told them Maisa with Rav Pinkus, where the guy said, if the Rambam, if the Rambam were alive today, he wouldn't even get a job in your yeshiva. So someone told me when they were in Keren Biavne, Rav Moshe Stav, who was one of the big Talmidei Chacham in Keren Biavne, was giving a shiur in Mor Nevuchim. He started the shiur in Mor Nevuchim by saying, if the Rambam were around today, Mistami, he'd go to YU. Okay. Don't know. So says the Gemara Vayter, Amrav Tutu Grav Kashi Medirza. Good. Then we quote Vayter in the same pasuk. Va'utcha ato. Amrav Yosef Rebbe Chanina Melamit Shaparcha Bo Tzaras. That he had Tzaras. That's the lashon of Tzaras. Ksif Halcha Va'utcha Ato. Ksif Asam Valsafam Ya'ateh. Tsanof Yitznafcha Tznafa Kadur. Al Eretz Rachvas Yadayim. Tana who bikesh klon beis Adonav, he wanted to bring dishonor to his master's house. Lefichach nepach kvodo lekalon. So his own honor turned into dishonor. How so? Kevnafik yu also gavriel achde ludasha ba'ape mishar yasei. When he was leaving, so Gavriel came and slammed the door of the city shut behind all of the 110,000, in front of all the 130,000 people that were supposed to be following him. So he said to Sancheir, I'm coming with 130,000 men. And then he waltzes out all alone because the door is shut in front of the other 130,000 people. So Amrle Mishar Yasecha Hecha. So they said, where is your whole chevra? So Amr Hadrubi, he said, oh, I guess they backed out. Amrle Im Kein Achuchik Machayachtu Ba Nakvu Ba Akav Ba Talu Biznovei Susehem Ba Yimagaru Nosan Al Kotzim Ba Barkanim. Very, very cruel. So they said, ah, you're making a mockery out of us. So they poked holes in his heels and they tied the horse's tails through the holes that they made in his heels, and they had the horses run and schlep him along thorns and bushes and bristles, and that was the form of punishment. By the way, the Nazis had similar forms of punishment. Soloveitchik said that he had a cousin, a grandchild of Rav Chaim Brisker, who was during Shevardnadze week when the Nazis invaded his town, and they took he and his wife, and they put him, they tied him by their feet to a wagon, to horse-drawn wagons or to horses, and they had him run in opposite directions for miles, schlepping them along the ground. And that's how the Nazis killed them. Yes, so the Nazis came up with the most creative ways of torturing people. Ein kol chadash tachas ha-shemesh. Find it all here. Amr Blazar, Shevna bal hana haya. Shevna was a bal hana. He was interested in chasing his own hana'os. That's probably where he went wrong. Because the Darka Shel Torah, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, is pas b'melech tochel, is not to be a glutton, not to always be looking for your own personal hana. And Shevna was a bal hana, so even though he was a great Talmud Chacham, the zchus of his Torah couldn't help because it wasn't Torah done in the right way. Ksif ha'chalich bal ha'soken hazeh, ksif ha'sam v'til ha'soken hazeh. Fine. Ki ha'shasos ya'ros and tzadik ma'pal. So three interpretations of what this means. Rabbi Yehuda of Rav Ina, Chadamar ilu Chizkiah v'siyato ne'arasim tzadik ma'pa'al. If Chizkiah and his group would have been destroyed, then it would have reflected poorly on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What would all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions have been about? V'chadamar ilu Beis HaMikdash ya'aras tzadik ma'pa'al. No, the Beis HaMikdash destroyed it to a terrible Chil Hashem. V'ulamar ilu Machshavos v'shalos ha'rasha eino ne'arasos tzadik ma'pa'al. That if the Machshavos of that Rasha of Shevna would not have been destroyed, then Tzadik Ma'pal references Chizkiah. So Bishlam and Mani Amar Ilu Machshavos Shalos Rasha Hainu Duxiv Ki Ashasus Ya Rasun. Ilu Mani Amar Beis HaMikdash Nami Ditnan Evan Ha'is HaShami Mos Nevim HaRishon Mushsiyah Ha'is HaNikres. Meaning, what's the Lashon of Shasus? So Shasus, I understand very well according to 2 and 3. Ilu Mani Amar Chizkiah V'siyato. But if you say that it's a reference to Chizkiah V'siyato, right, that it's the first pshat, Hecha Ashkan Tzadiki Dikru Shasus. Where do you find Tzadikim that are referred to by that name? Tichsiv Ki Lashem Mutzuki Arts V'yashes Aleim Sevel. That's a reference to Tzadikim. V'yibar Yisei Mehacha Hifli Eitza Godel Soshia. Soshia, again, a reference to Tzadikim. Okay, why are they called that? Amar Abichan Lama Nikra Shema Toshia Meshi Mateshes Kocho Shel Adam. Torah weakens a person's koach. Or it's a lashon of quiet, that the Torah is given quietly in order not to bring about the kitrug of the Satan. things that seem like they're empty, but the world is really based on them. Meaning, Torah is just words. So you think, how important could words be? But the entire world is based on these words. Amar ula machshava moelis afilu divrei Torah. That a machshava works even for divrei Torah. Meaning, works can distract a person. If a person has worries, if a person is always thinking about with anxieties about what's going to happen, it kills their learning. They're unable to learn. Shenemar mefer machshavas harumim v'losei asani yadayim toshia. Amar rabbi mesukin l'shma ina moelis. But if you're learning Torah l'shma, then your worries aren't going to be able to have an effect on you. Shenemar rabbis machshavas blavish v'atzas Hashem yisakum eitzah sheish v'dvar Hashem yisakum li'olam. That when you're learning Torah l'shem shemayim, that's always going to be everlasting. The important message, though, is that if a person has anxieties, a person has worries, it's not like he's going to be able to just learn and forget about the worries. That a person has to be able to be meser the daigos milibo. He has to be able to get rid of the worries and the concerns and the anxieties if he expects to be able to grow as a ben Torah, if he expects to be able to learn properly. That's a very critical element of Talmud Torah and of growth in Talmud Torah. Okay, the next piece we're really going to do, and we'll just do this quickly. Amar Rav Melazar Alach Rabbi Yehuda, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda that Asmachta is not a problem by gambling, that the problem is Einos B'Yishuv V'Shalom. Amar Rav Melazar Kulin Shrichna. We're not going to be able to do all this. Okay, bottom line is, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda that gambling is Einos B'Yishuv V'Shalom. We're going to pick up next time discussing Ochle Davar Acher. Very interesting. I wanted to get to it today. I didn't get to mention it. If you look in Rav Moshe's Tshuva about hypnosis, he bases it on a Gemara, or partially based on a Gemara here, Daf Chavav, about Ochle Davar Acher. You could look up and down this page 1,000 times. You'll never find what in the world, how you would connect this to hypnosis. Rav Moshe has such a Tshuva. Maybe we'll make it a Temin Allah Hashir or something. We'll figure out a way to get to it. But okay, but that's Rav Moshe's Bekiyas.